To coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily Electronic Edition. This time around, I'll have music for you from Tor, Jacques Green, and Crystal Castles. Kicking things off, this is TDJ with On and On You Lie, featuring Clara Camara.
Love.
This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Let's play a game.
Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Tor with Sunyata. Up next, this is Chuck Green with Real Time.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system. This is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
Thank you.
Sean Savage. You are listening to the Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Crystal Castles with Magic Spells. Until next time.
Canada, this is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to The Kingston Curator. This is a show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. All right. Hello, everyone. This week on The Kingston Curator, we are highlighting a production that is taking part of this year's Kick and Push Festival. Le Concierge, The Caretaker, is an immersive theater experience that takes audiences inside the world of a school caretaker in a way that's unlike your typical play. So joining me today is the show's co-creator, Vincent. So Vincent, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And for listeners who maybe haven't heard about Le Concierge yet, what can they expect from the show?
So this show is an immersive experience that Daniele Bartolini and I have co-created, and it premiered in Toronto in 2023. We developed it over 7 years, and essentially we wanted to shine some light on caretakers, custodians in our schools, but also wherever they may work. So you've probably seen them in airports and malls and businesses. So I came up with this idea that I wanted to do a show about a blue collar worker who was working in this big establishment at night all alone. And I wanted to talk about solitude, but also about the blue collar experience. So I came up to Daniele, had these vague ideas, broad strokes, and over 7 years we sculpted this really special experience that is wordless, so it's fully silent, and allows for an evening of unconventional and immersive theater.
Wow. Well, what a unique idea. I just think that is so cool. For one, highlighting kind of the role of a caretaker, I think that is definitely such an overlooked position in a lot of fields. So I think that truly is an amazing storyline to feature. And also for it to be a wordless performance, I think that's truly unique. And to be in development for 7 years, wow. So a lot of thought has definitely gone behind this and effort. So just congratulations. I'm really impressed with this performance. But
thank you.
Like you mentioned, yeah, you wear a lot of different hats in this production. You're the co-creator, producer, performer. What's it been like balancing all those roles?
Well, what's great is for the initial production in Toronto, we had a whole team of designers. It was co-produced with the Théâtre Français de Toronto and myself in association with the DLT, Daniele's company. So we had a full team of people setting up the world and the universe we wanted to bring the audience in. So I'm not taking the credit for all of it. We have a great team of collaborators that set us up for success. We also have Christophe Ibrahim, who is our amazing stage manager, who helps us along the way and who's been there since day one of the creation in 2023. So how do I juggle these many hats? Is we all kind of wear several hats in this production. And when we arrive at a school in the tour version of this show, which we're bringing to Kingston this week, we rediscover the space. We adapt the show depending on what the space has to offer. So whatever school we set up in will dictate and help us. Essentially, the space is a playwright. We're in conversation with the space, and we adapt it as we are getting inspired by the school. So my many hats are sometimes taken off so that I can simply be the actor, mm-hmm. or sometimes only work on the producing ahead of time, or sometimes work with Daniele and Christophe to really tailor and custom make the show that is the concierge that you'll be seeing in Kingston.
Wow. And another thing that really stood out to me is truly how different this production is from traditional theater. And so my question was it always meant to be kind of like an immersive production, or did it evolve like that over the years? I know you said this has been in development for 7 years. Did you plan it to be like this from the start, or how did it end up like that?
Yeah, in Daniele Bartolini's practice, he does a lot of immersive theater, and that's how we met. About 11 years ago, we met in Vancouver. We worked on this show called The Stranger that is his creation. And it is a one-on-one experience. So one audience member at a time walks through this maze in a city and discovers actors, and they're activated in a certain way. And there's these scenes that you do, but you're only one audience member at a time. So we've done, I think, 8 or 9 productions together, Daniele and I, and this is the first time that I brought up my own idea that I wanted him to collaborate with me on. And so it was always, since its inception, our goal to make this an immersive show, but for a group of 20 people maximum. So it's a very intimate audience, and that was always our intention. We've never really played with the idea of making this really a theater, conventional theater show on stage, because there's so many beautiful aspects of this production that are special because of the fact that it's immersive, site specific, and that the audience is part of the show. So the audience dons on some coveralls at the top of the show, and they're given some specific rules to follow. And then throughout the whole experience, the whole 90 minutes of the show, they are to follow this custodian, this caretaker throughout a school in a bit of a labyrinth and a maze that we take them through.
Wow, how cool. And I also read the show doesn't really rely on any dialogue, right? So what inspired you to tell a story without words?
Well, at the very start, that was another thing that I mentioned to Daniele. I wanted to work with a piece that was silent, that was wordless. And I think both of us jammed on this idea for a while. And often in theater, we rely on textocentric, that means a script-based story where we learn about the characters through specific words, actions, dialogue. My practice comes from physical theater, so there's a lot of clown and dance theater and ways to tell stories that are not with the use of words. And I love that because it's universal. So a show with no words removes barriers, language barriers. Mm-hmm. I'm a Francophone and I work a lot in French and English, but if you take away words, it makes it universal. Everyone can understand or try to interpret the story as they will. So I thought that was always a great part of the show, is taking out words and sometimes patter or banter that is useless or redundant makes for a really interesting experience for the audience, because it doesn't give them all the tools. There are some blanks to fill in for them, and we don't spoon feed the audience in a condescending way. It's a more like it's a creation that is collaborative with the audience. They have to be proactive in the storytelling and figure out some stuff throughout the whole 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. And that makes, I didn't even think about that, truly accessible to everyone. And it's, truly universal. That's really cool. So does creating a wordless performance change the way you prepare as an actor, do you find?
Well, I'm off book, which is nice.
True.
There's no lines to memorize. But no, I would say that it doesn't necessarily change the way I prepare. I always do a really good physical warm up, whether it's with script or not, when I'm in a show or when I'm in on set for a TV show, what have you. But the proximity to the audience members is something that I've had to develop over the years with this show, and especially when we're developing the show, because let's face it, the audience is right in front of me. We don't have that separation as we do in normal theater, where you sit down in a theater, the light kind of fades down, the curtains open, and the show starts, and you're not, as an audience member, really asked to do anything or even move from your seat. You just watch something as you do on TV, whereas this show, an audience member could be a few feet from me, and I still have to be focused, concentrated, and continuing my task or my scene. So that's required really a learning curve on my end. But it's one of the best parts of the show for me is to be followed by this small flock of 20 people with Christoph, our SM, and to be able to be so close. There really is an intimacy that we don't find in regular theater that is established in the show.
Mm-hmm, I can imagine. And like we said, the central character is probably someone we often don't think about a lot and overlook. And your character is a school caretaker. So I know you briefed on this a little bit, but what drew you to this storyline in choosing the caretaker role?
Well, I feel like they are unsung heroes of society, specifically caretakers. They do thankless chores. They're repetitive, and often they are not the most desirable task to do. Some people don't like cleaning. Some people don't like to take the garbage out or what have you. Of course, the job of a caretaker is much more than that, but that's one of the sides. I always, for whatever reason, have a sense of equality and equity. And I feel like why aren't these people in the spotlight? Because they are super important. But also, a lot of times in pop culture, caretakers, custodians, janitors, whatever you may call them, are secondary characters who are laughed at, and they're not really an important part of, they're never the protagonist. So my intention was to pay tribute to these people by respectfully taking their role and using it as a character to tell this person's story. And Daniele, the co-creator and director, always says that this character also becomes mythological. It takes on mythological proportions because as you're watching this man before you, he's the everyman, but also there's ways to interpret the work that is more symbolic and that I'm not sure if you're aware of the myth of Sisyphus, but Sisyphus, this man has to push a boulder up a mountain every day. He's condemned to do so every day. And at the end of the day, the boulder goes all the way back down and he has to repeat this task endlessly, infinitely. So we saw this as an opportunity to make a parallel between labor, the labor of a custodian. That's repetitive, let's be honest. Teenagers make a mess of this high school and every day you have to do the same thing over and over again, as Sisyphus did. So I think that's why I always had a curiosity towards this person in society, but also from my own experiences. And I think probably yourself, you had some caretakers in your school when you were a teen or even in elementary school, and everyone has anecdotes. It's been great to see when we do the show, people afterwards say, hey, my dad was a custodian and tells me this amazing story. Or, hey, I was a custodian in university and I did my undergrad or I did my master's while I was cleaning toilets. And it's frequent that people have some kind of connection to this role. So let me ask you, do you remember any of your caretakers when you were young?
To be honest, I've seen them in the hall, but no, like I never really stopped by and like chatted with them or like I can't even think of like a name of one of my caretakers. So you're so right. I do truly feel like they're underappreciated at times because all they do, yeah, for my school, I can remember how hard they work, but yeah, no, I never like would stop and talk to them at all. So yeah, that's truly eye-opening there.
Yeah, because in a sense, they are almost invisible. They're like ghosts in our establishments, and people don't really, you know, pay attention to them. And they're almost like, yeah, secretly always in the background kind of cleaning things. So, but that's also super valid of someone going, no, that it wasn't particularly remarkable for me because it's invisible work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's truly, yeah, what a great storyline to have there. And so I know you just mentioned a couple, but yeah, what themes or ideas do you really hope audiences take away after experiencing the show? I'm sure people now are more appreciative of caretakers, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one thing is to be respectful towards people regardless of their profession. And the use of silence in the show is deliberate because, as I mentioned, it allows for interpretation. So what I love is after a show or several weeks after a show, people asking me about a specific scene. And two people, friends, could have come to see the show. And one says, oh, this scene was incredibly moving and it really touched me. And then somebody else could say, that scene was super funny. I don't know what you thought was so sad about it. So that's something I love about the show is it creates a dialogue over interpreting art and interpreting visuals, multisensorial experience where if someone listens to something and heard some buzzing of a fluorescent tube versus someone saying, no, that scene was completely silent, I could hear a pin drop. So that's a big takeaway is interpreting art and not having specific things or objectives. It's nice to let the audience wander and wonder about what happened and what they experienced.
Speaking of the audience a little bit, so like you mentioned, they're not just sitting there and watching the show, they are a part of this performance, which I think is really cool. So audiences can follow through the school during the performance. So how does that kind of change the relationship between you and the audience compared to a traditional stage production?
Well, the audience somewhat becomes my scene partner. So because it's I'm alone as the character, as the protagonist, with Christoph, the stage manager, and we have, as I mentioned, a flock of maybe 20 people max who are following me. It allows for a lot of curveballs and surprises because I know what I'm supposed to do. But if a group is walking a bit slower, then the pace of the show might be slower. If a group is super keen and is jogging with me in the hallways, then I might pick up the pace. So there's something really fun about me listening, hearing their breath, feeling their energy, and then rolling with it. That can bring about, yeah, like I said, curveballs and things that we didn't expect, but everything is part of the show. There are no accidents or imperfections. Everything is great. It's and people allow themselves permission to come close to me, as I said, in proximity to me. And some people would rather watch from afar and kind of watch the other audience members, because that's another thing, is you can watch me, but there are also 20 other bodies in the room. So it makes it for a really 360 experience. And the audience is a huge part of the experience every night. And if someone was to come see the show on tonight, on a Thursday or on another night, they might see a different show.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I'm sure, yeah, you must be very adapted for that. And just every performance must be unique in its own way. Have you had any kind of memorable moments that you can think of with an audience or audience member that's really struck you?
Yes, there's plenty I can draw from. I don't want to give too many spoilers away from the show.
Yeah.
But yes, there's a specific moment where I sit down at a piano and someone sat right beside me. And it was almost like a private concert for this person, which was so special. No one had ever done that before. There are times where people help me. I won't say for what, but there are some people who help me in this experience. And it's always life affirming to have someone kind of give me a hand and to go, oh, there is hope. People want to help out, but the audience experience is to each their own. So basically, sometimes immersive theater is super interactive and you're put on the spot and you have to do things. This experience is very gentle and people can choose to participate or not. The main thing they're asked is to follow the caretaker and to witness what he does, so to observe. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's such a cool opportunity. And I think it's a perfect fit for the Kick and Push Festival happening here in Kingston. So for people who may have never been to the Kick and Push before, what makes it such a unique festival from an artist's perspective?
So we're co-presented by the Kick and Push and the Centre Culturel Frontenac, the French community center and hub. And the Kick and Push and the CCF since 2023 have wanted to bring us to Kingston. And now we're super happy to be doing the show this summer. I think this festival programs a lot of works that are non-traditional, a lot of site-specific work, and Liam Carey and Amanda and their whole team are super adept at that, and they themselves are practitioners of site-specific work. So I feel as though it's the perfect partnership. And likewise for the CCF, maybe they don't do a lot of immersive theater, but they program a whole bunch of arts and culture in French. And what's great about this show with both partners is it brings both communities together, French and English. This show is super accessible for an Anglophone because it is wordless. But it is, I should say, it is a very, our sensibilities with the show are very Francophone. Even my set designer, Melanie McNeil, once said, oh, this show is so French. And it wasn't in a condescending way. It was actually saying that it's undeniably French just from the way we approach things. That is to say that if someone is an Anglophone or even a Francophile, so someone who speaks some French, but that's not their mother tongue, or someone who's bilingual in Kingston would appreciate this show. And we have perfect partners to kind of marry those two communities. And so, and they've done so in the past. They've programmed, I think this is their fifth co-production or co-presentation together. And we're super happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you guys. This is such an incredible experience for Kingston. And I think I agree with you. I think this is a perfect match for what this festival brings every year. It's just a great opportunity to have here. And kind of before I let you go and to wrap things up a little bit, for anyone who's still deciding which shows to catch at this festival this summer, why should they make the time for Le Concierge?
Well, first off, I should say that there are not a lot of tickets left. So if you want to come see the show, I would, I hope that people
go fast.
Yes, exactly. But all in all, I think the Concierge offers a different kind of theatrical experience that will allow you to pause, to reflect, to observe, and to walk through, as an adult, a school setting and bring you to the nostalgia of that time, of when you were a teenager, of when you were, when you had a locker, when you were falling in love for the first time, but also when you first encountered caretakers. And this is a unique experience that is unlike any theatrical experience, and it allows for people to interpret as they will, and to really take a pause of our everyday lives, which is so go, 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 to actually simmer in this silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, great. And finally, where can people find what's left of tickets and learn more about the show?
So there are a few ways to go about it. You can go to the Kick and Push Festival's website, and the details are there. The ticketing is there. Or you can go to the CCF's website, and that will direct you to the ticketing and box office site, too.
Well, thank you so much, Vincent. I really appreciate you coming on the Kingston Curator today and bringing this wonderful show to Kingston. I know we are all super excited to go see this. What a cool and immersive experience. Truly a unique show. I love it. Thank you, Vincent, for coming on the show and talking about Le Concierge, the caretaker. What an incredible production that sounds like. It's truly unique, a wordless and immersive experience. Very cool, and is coming to theaters near you in Kingston this week. So if you're interested in it, please go check it out, because like you mentioned, it is going to be a different show each time and a little audience interaction if you like that. So definitely go make sure you check it out at the Kick and Push Festival. But now coming up is a brief interview on another exciting event coming to you this weekend in Kingston, the Fort Henry Tattoo. So let's get into that. All right. Hello, everyone. This week on the Kingston Curator, we are highlighting one of Kingston's longest running summer traditions, the Fort Henry Tattoo, featuring military music, precision drills, pipes and drums, and lots of fun. It's a show that's been entertaining audiences for decades. And joining me today is Alex from Fort Henry. So thank you so much for taking the time joining me today, Alex.
Yeah, of course. I'm excited to be here.
And for listeners who may have never been to the Fort Henry Tattoo before, what is it all about?
Yeah, so like you kind of pointed on, a tattoo is a centuries old tradition. What the word comes from is that it actually is a Dutch phrase originally. That means turn off the taps. So it dates back to when the military would march through town signaling last call to local taverns so that the military members would come back to the barracks. So now, today, we don't really have to do that anymore, but it's become more of a spectacle of pageantry and a celebration of music and military tradition.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I was actually going to ask what that means. So that's very cool. I didn't know that.
And yeah, it's a good little fact.
And as you mentioned, it has definitely become such a large tradition in Kingston and in the summer for such a long time now. So mm-hmm. How did the Fort Henry Tattoo first get started? I know you mentioned that a little bit. And kind of how has it evolved over the years?
Yeah, so for us in the Fort Henry National Historic Site and the St. Lawrence Parks Commission, we started doing it about 20 years ago. However, there has been tattoos hosted previously within the walls of the fort. There used to be a tattoo historic society that would run the show within our walls. But for us personally, we've been doing it the last 20 years now. But it could have been going on much longer than that. Wow. With the age of Fort Henry itself, it's such kind of a special tradition that, you know, 1900s at least, there's got to be a history of the tattoo there. So we're very happy to be able to continue to keep on the tradition and continue hosting the tattoo within our historic walls, and also being able to invite all of these fantastic bands to perform on our historic Great Square.
Wow. And now, jumping into this year's tattoo, what can people expect to see during this year's performance?
Oh, we've got some amazing bands coming this year. A lot of them have been on our square in the past and have put on an incredible show, but we're always happy to welcome them back. This year, we have the Royal Canadian Air Force, Pipes and Drums, the 2nd Canadian Mechanized Brigade Group, Pipes and Drums. We also have the Rob Roy Pipe Band and Highland Dancers, and the Ceremonial Guard, which is an absolutely fantastic group out of Ottawa. They do the ceremonial changing of the guard on Parliament Hill. So we are absolutely thrilled to have them. They are so talented. And then we also feature the Royal Hamilton Light Infantry. They are fantastic as well. And of course, our Fort Henry Guard here at the historic site. So we'll have our students who are working here and training every day throughout the summer to perform as British soldiers in 1867. We'll have our world-renowned Fort Henry drums, as well as our artillery team doing some incredible performances as well.
Wow, truly lots going on, and I'm happy to hear. Mm-hmm. Wow, some fun stuff. And this might be a hard question to answer, but is there a particular part of the show that you're especially excited to see or for the audiences to see this year?
Oh, honestly, our finale. We do a mass bands finale where every band performing in the show gets on the square at the end and does a couple tunes together, which is just, I think, the perfect culmination of the ending of the show and being able to highlight and demonstrate the incredible talent that goes into every performer here, and having them all work together to create that big last moment. And then, of course, we always round it out with a fireworks display. So it's really the perfect cherry on top for a wonderful evening.
Oh, nice. And it must feel nice to see everyone kind of collaborate at the end and see what a wonderful show it's become. So that's
yes.
Fun. Yeah. And definitely one of the things that makes the tattoo so special is the atmosphere and how beautiful Fort Henry is. So mm-hmm. Why do you think the tattoo has remained such a popular Kingston tradition for so many years now?
I think it's just really rooted in history. I mean, Fort Henry itself has been in the spot it is and existing since the 1830s. And then obviously Kingston, the city itself, has such a long history as Canada's first capital. So the city itself has been around for so long. The fort, where we do the show, has been around for so long. And then obviously Kingston has a very rooted military history, not just in Fort Henry, but obviously in the active base we have now. So I think it's just really, people love to appreciate the kind of history that's associated with the city of Kingston. And I think that the tattoo is a great exemplary of that for folks who are interested in the history of Canada as well as military history.
Yeah, like you said, Fort Henry itself, it's such an iconic place to visit and so beautiful. And mm-hmm. I'm interested to see here, what does the tattoo mean to the performers and everyone involved behind the scenes?
Yeah, there's a lot of work put in from all the performers. Obviously, I see the work every day that the Fort Henry Guard themselves put in to get ready for not just the tattoo, but for our show season with our sunset ceremonies that run throughout the summer. So there's a lot of training that goes into that aspect. I know for the military bands that we have joining us, they love having the opportunity to like get out into the public and to be able to perform music and interact with everyone, to be able to demonstrate like their own excellency, because they put in a lot of work into training for this as well. And they also don't just come and visit us here at Fort Henry. A lot of these bands perform at various locations and other tattoos internationally as well. So it's such a pleasure to be able to have them choose us to come and perform for us here in Kingston.
Where can people find tickets and learn more about this year's performance?
Yeah, our tickets are available on our website, FortHenry.com. You can visit the tattoo specific page there. You'll be able to find a link for tickets as well as see all of our other events happening over the summer.
Well, sounds good. And thank you so much, Alex, for coming on today.